Amen. Let's turn to page 35. Page 35. We're on the section under the tab, like the commission. This is morning session number 2 on the commission to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read the title together. The commission to preach the gospel. So what do we have? A commission. The commission to preach the gospel. Right, so we're on this session. Unless we have a vision, there cannot be a commission.
Wow.
The commissions come from a vision.
Amen.
Right? Okay, so I will recommend a book in 1964, but it released that A Young Man in God's Plan. In message 4, it talks about Saul's vision and commission. So I will just read from the book. In this chapter, chapter 4, on a young man in God's plan. Here, we have the conversion of Saul of Tarsus, right? You know, who does not know Saul of Tarsus? Sorry, I have to know my audience. No? You don't? Okay. Who knows Paul? That's what he said. Yeah, we all know Paul. Okay. Okay, anyway, we don't have time to go into. Please read this book. This will change your life. Because what happened to Paul, actually, in the footnote says, actually, besides the Lord Jesus, Paul may be one of the greatest person who received such a commission.
Right.
Right? And seen the vision. Okay, so I'll read. In Acts 26, so if you want to know about Saul and Paul, read Acts 9, read Acts 22, and read Acts 26. 9, 22, 26. Go back. That is your reference. So in Acts 26, 19, Paul told King Agrippa that he was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Paul was not to be disobedient to what he had seen. Okay? His commission was according to his vision. What you are going to do for the Lord must be according to what you have seen of the Lord. Because you have seen something of the Lord, you have to do something for the Lord according to what you have seen. So thus, the commission is according to the vision, and the vision creates the commission. If we really have seen God's plan, or he has really converted from the things other than Christ to Christ himself, what we have seen, experienced, will produce or create a commission for us. So this vision will cause us to act, to work for Christ, to serve Christ according to what we have seen, okay, of him. If we have really seen, okay, Christ is everything, I will not go through the whole portion. So last session, what did we see? What do we see? Man, yes. Man is the center of the universe. Without man, God cannot accomplish his plan. Actually, God's plan, his creation, everything that God has, he's doing. He went through a process, right? Incarnation, all that who he is. What he has done is for man. So man is to express God and represent God. Right? So the key for man to express God and represent God is on this side. A spirit. So our spirit is so key. Not only our spirit ranks with the heavens and earth, but in the new creation, in God's plan, the spirit, our spirit, the spirit created, right, by God, actually is the key to everything in our Christian life. So we have to see this. So if you see God loves man, God wants man, God needs man, so does man needs God. But if you look at God's perspective, our feeling for man will be totally different. I was walking down campus, you know, on my campus. I was still remember, you know, sophomore year. After I had fellowship with the Lord, I was just walking down the library. When I see people coming out of the library, it's just such a cry. I don't know. Thousands of, in a library, the heart just goes out for people. I was in Texas doing one of the truck stops. You know, I pass by Texas quite often. And I would go in, truck stop, okay? Huge Texans, tattoos, earrings, whatever hair. But you know, mohawk, I don't know what they have. But you know, when you go in, if you're one with the Lord, right? Last message, your heart just goes out. I don't know what to say. You know, I was walking. Then I have to hand them a track. I have to, something. Because what? I've seen. Have you seen? God loves man. The world, the fallen, sinful man. If you have seen that, I'm just giving you this example. That will change your life. So gospel preaching, the commission, is not a duty. It's a vision. Based upon this vision, you will receive a commission. You see the difference? Okay. So we're going to go on. Okay. But how do you see a vision? Right? With a vision comes a commission. But how do you see the vision? See, it's crucial. With the point of God, okay, He give us, right? Give us a new heart, a new spirit. But in giving His revelation, it's the spirit and the heart. So there are two directions. Spirit from God. I'll tell you why. That because I'll jump to all the reference notes in Job and that. When you read the note in the footnote in Job, okay, last session, it leads us to Ephesians. So can we turn to Ephesians 1? Oh, maybe you don't have the time. Ephesians 1:17. Okay, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in a full knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your heart may have been enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of your calling, etc. So here, two things are crucial in the Christian life. What? Spirit and heart. Before we were generated, right, it's crucial. Unless our heart turns, unless the seeking spirit, right? Unless you know you have a spirit, you cannot contact God. Unless your heart is being revived, renewed by the Lord, you cannot love Him. So, the brothers will touch these matters. Okay, but here, it talks about the Father of glory. In the Old Testament, remember, we cut out the second verse, so that they did not know what God has done from the beginning to the end. Why? Cut it off. Anyway, we have different answers, right? But it's okay. Before you're regenerated, actually, you cannot know. But when do we know? When did you know? Oh, Lord Jesus, 80 years old. Oh, Lord Jesus, Lord, forgive me. At the time of regeneration, the God of our Lord Jesus, the Father of glory, the Father means life. Remember last session? When life comes in, we have a new spirit. Amen. And what? What do you have? A new spirit and a new heart. Wonderful regeneration. Right? Aren't you saved? Remember when you were saved? The heavens change. The colors change. Everything changed. Yes, you may still not get up to clean your room, but something inside. God came in. Christ came in. The Spirit, the triune God is in me. Hallelujah. What a new day, a happy day. A new day has begun. So when do we get a new heart, a new spirit? At the time of our regeneration. It's in the footnote. So when we're regenerated, that's when we begin to know God. That's only the beginning of a journey. Okay, so I'll read a footnote, okay? Wisdom is in our spirit, right? That we may know the mystery of God, and revelation is of God's spirit, and He made us know the vision by opening the veil. First, so when you have that new spirit, actually it is the spirit. In the spirit, there's a wisdom. Amen. and revelation opens up all that God is and has to us. And then it takes the heart. For we need the eyes of our heart, again, with this new heart. We need to see. We need to see the spiritual things. So we have wisdom, the ability to know, and revelation, the revelation of the spiritual things, yet we still need eyes. You may know, you may understand, but you have to see. See, sometimes, okay, God so loved the world, so what? I know it. But it involves our heart. Our heart have to see. In the spiritual things, seeing is gaining.
Yes.
Seeing, right? Remember Job, all the things he went through? I've heard of you by the hearing of my ears, but what? Now I've seen you. Seen you. If I've seen God, not physical eyes, but in the inward eyes, the new heart, in the eyes, when you see God, actually, God. So that's why we need to spend time. Oh, take time to behold him. If you don't behold him, right, face to face, eye to eye, you know, sometimes mouth to mouth, you know, so you describe a different way, but you got him, right? Our gospel preaching is not just a method. It's not a method. It's we are being filled with the triune God. This living person, the triune God, has come into me. So I'm telling you about, I used to work at Disneyland. I can tell you all the rides. Oh, roller coaster, you know, Matterhorn, you know. Anyway, I can tell you a lot about Disneyland, but can you tell people about the rides you have with the triune God? He being a shepherd. Did he shepherd you out of the valleys? Was he with you? I mean, all the rides, all the journeys in life is our gospel. Right, okay. Okay. Well, my time is almost up. Barely got to the point. But I hope you get this, right? The matter of seeing. When you see, you have the vision who God is. Then that becomes your commission. This was Saul. He became blind. You know, he saw. What did he see? Actually, our spirit is for us to see, to know. Our eyes is for us to contain, receive, and love. So that's why we need to have all the lessons about this matter of spirit and the heart is to know God, not objective, to experience him and to love him. Our heart is not to love anything else. So thou you shall love the Lord, your God. From what? Your whole heart. And from your whole soul. And from your whole mind. And from your whole strength. Love God with your whole strength. When you call, love him. Okay. Unless you love God, you cannot love man. So Saul Tardis, I just give you a verse. You have to trace all the stories. Okay. It says, the Lord's grace coming after God's mercy visited Saul Tardis and not only abound that superabounded in him with faith and love in Christ. This is a note in 1 Timothy 1:14. Okay. Faith and love are products of the Lord's grace. Mercy and grace come to us from the Lord. Faith and love returns to the Lord from us. This is a spiritual traffic between the Lord and us. So Saul was persecuting Christians, jailing them, killing, murdering, breathing out murder. He was such a person. You have to read, you know, all the references. He was a foremost sinner. He persecuted Christians, but grace was upon him. Right. Now, not only grace, mercy. The Lord had mercy, then grace. This is from God's side. And you look at his whole life, what is in return? Faith and love. If you cannot receive God's love, you cannot love God. So many times, we don't even love ourselves. We were in Montreal. Young people, you think your parents don't love me? Nobody loves me? You're socially connected on the internet? Physically, what? Isolated? Emotionally? Disturbed. Right? I mean, I don't know what you are. You may look happy, but what's inside of you? you have to let God love you. Like receiving. How do we preach the gospel? If we do not let the love, don't struggle, please. Don't be a good Christian. Don't be a good brother. Don't be a good sister, but understand me. Just enjoy God. Amen. Just let Christ love you. Amen. So he can make home in your heart. Amen. Just let him love you. How's that? Isn't Christian life simple? Just let him love you. And the result is, I'll jump to one verse, Luke 7:47. You know, there's a woman, two Marys here, right? One anointed the Lord, right? The other anointed the Lord, right? Broke the alabaster. But in Luke, this woman, she was so shy, she broke the alabaster. But what did she do? Not the Lord's head. She felt so ashamed. She anointed with tears. Wipe clean the Lord's feet, the dirtiest part, then with her hair, the glory on her. Anoint the Lord's feet. You know, there were Pharisees there. Say, don't you know that's a sinner, Lord Jesus? You know, don't a sinful woman touching you. How dirty that is. The Lord gave the parable. I mean, I won't go through. Please read it. Then the Lord said, for this reason I say to you, Pharisees, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, because she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, he loves little. So to love the Lord more, you need to go to the Lord. Let him forgive you. Let him love you. Anyways, not yet. I haven't started. Okay, so I'll stop here. So the love for the Lord Jesus was the issue of the Savior's forgiveness. Unless you receive forgiveness, you cannot love the Lord. Okay, let's read Roman numeral 1. Okay. Huh? No, you okay? Okay, 1. Message 1, the title. Preaching the gospel filled with God as love. So how do you feel with filled by God as love? Huh? Yeah. Just go to him. Tell him, Lord, I can't do it. Lord, I'm just this way. Let him love you. How about that? Nobody loves you, but the Lord loves you. How about say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Let's say that again. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Right. The more you touch the Lord's love, the more you can love. Or else your source is just your zealousness. You want to do something? No, don't do something for the Lord. First, touch the Lord. Be loved by him and love him. Okay, then that's Romans 1 together.
Our Savior desires all men to be saved.
Okay, so the verse here says that our Savior God who desires all men to be saved. Okay, so there is something here. Now we're talking about preaching the gospel. So when you love the Lord, there is a spontaneous flow. It's like when you're filled, right? When you're filled. Water, then there's a flow and overflow. It's spontaneous. It's spontaneous. So here, but in order to be filled, actually the verses in 1 Timothy here, it begins with prayer. First of all, pray. Right? Pray. So I don't want to read the verses. So pray, okay? Maybe we should read that Timothy 2:1. Does anyone have Timothy 2:1? Yeah, just a verses. That verse. It's okay. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. First of all, prayer. Then what? Intercessions and petitioning and thanksgiving. So there is actually here, you look at the note, prayer is for fellowship. So in order to preach the gospel, I mean this side, God's desire, in order to match God's desire, you have to pray to fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Prayer, and with that prayer, then you have petition, right? no matter petition. And then intercession. Petition is something particular. You plead for someone, you petition. But I want to touch the word intercession. Intercession is to intervene on someone's behalf. That means if I see this brother, or I see this person, my roommate, my classmate, or even my family member, every year I list down, I have a list for my family members. I have a lot of story, but no time to tell. I list it down, and I pray. And not only pray, throughout prayer, I have a feeling for one or two. That I intercede. That means in the prayer, what is your name, brother?
Lasso, okay.
When I see him, whenever you think of him, then say, Lord, give him a heart of repentance. You intercede. In a sense, he's in a situation. But you have to intercede. Before, the gospel is a matter of prayer. I don't know. First of all, we pray to the Lord to receive, to love him. But out of that, the Lord will give you feelings, St. Lazelle. You intercede. He's not baptized, for example. They say, pray, Lord. You pray with your companions. Lord, Lazelle, he has to be baptized. We intercede on his behalf. That is what Christ is doing in his heavenly ministry. And that is what we're doing on the earth. Matching, release, 2 and 3. Release the cell to be baptized into the triune God. Right? The Lord will listen to such a prayer. Okay. Okay, so how to match God's desires by prayer? That's my burden. To see God, to receive the vision and commission. Secondly, prayer. Okay. To match that. Okay. Okay, let's be all together. In the parable. Okay. I'll just release a burden. Okay. Number one. is to love God, right? You love God, you see God by loving God. Then prayer, the whole matter of prayer. You need to pray, intercede, intervene, petition, and sometimes even give thanksgiving, right? But here, the whole outline, I'm touched by one word. If you get this, you got it. One. This one. God desires all men to be saved. Yes, that is his desire. But what did he do? What did he do? The Lord Jesus was on the earth. He visited a person one by one.
Right.
We all know Galatians 2:20, right? No longer I that lives. But do you know what is the end of 2:20? I'm crucified with Christ, da-da-da-da. The life that which I now live in the flesh, okay, I live in the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for who? For you? For the church? Was it? Is it for who? For me. For me. Think about it. The creator of the universe. The process trying to, the Jesus who died for all mankind. Right? He became the life-giving spirit. But what? He gave himself for
me.
What's your name?
Caleb.
For Caleb. Amen. For David. He loved me. For me. You have to see, even in God's working out his desire, it's one by one. If you get this point, you get a rest. Because then look at the cases. Yeah, you can have a lot of people, but pray, Lord, give me one. That's why the Lord went to the well. Remember, people don't want to go to that place. He went to the women at the well. Oh, in 120, 130 degrees. It's not as hot as this. It's hotter than this, right? In the middle of the day, that woman who had, how many husbands? I don't know. 6 plus 1. I don't know. She can only come. Nobody's there. Nobody go out. She went there. The Lord detoured. The Lord did everything. She had to seek that one. Yes, he gave. He gave himself. Yes, to the church, Ephesians. All that is to dispense life. Right? So remember, redemption is not it. Not only on the cross. The full salvation has to be die in order to give life, to give the water, living water, water, living water to the woman. But how many did he visit? One. All his ministry, crowd was following him. He went up, you know, look at Shorty. Hey, Shorty, who's that? Zachariah. Shorty, come on. Zacchaeus, hey. You know, he was trying to see the Lord. Today, I will be in your house. No time. My time is almost up. You got it? If you got my burden, okay? Yes, you got, when you're filled with, look at God, the God of love himself. He gave and he accomplished so many things, but he died for me. Okay? So in working out, in really contacting people, it's one by one. One. May the Lord all give us one person. That's his message. One remaining fruit. We're not asking, Lord, save my school, 70,000 students. Yes, God desires everyone in your school to be saved. But who is that one? Who is the one that the Lord gives you? You need to match the triune God in his burden. I'll just read a note. If I touch this, maybe, you know, I hope you got my burden. Okay? I'll just read a note to consummate to this, okay? So, okay. This one, it's on the parable of Luke 15. I have two brothers who give a testimony, and after this, okay, I lost it. Okay. In answering the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes in Luke 15, who condemned him for eating with sinners? And the Savior spoke three parables, unveiling and depicting how the divine Trinity works to bring sinners back through the Son by the Spirit to the Father. The Son came in his humanity as a shepherd to find the sinners as a lost sheep and bring him back home. And the Spirit sees the sinners, right? And as a woman carefully seeking a lost coin until she finds it. So the Father receives the repenting, returning sinners. That is so all this story, if you read the end, one, even one sinner is saved. One, the angels rejoice. One, don't think about too many. Save my school. No, Lord, give me one. In my prayer, as I love you, as your love flows through me, Lord, which one? The Lord will definitely give you one, I would say. Go to him. Contact that one. Pray for that one. Intercede for that one. Okay, the brothers who can give testimony. I think my time's up. Two brothers, short, Jack and Jerry. Amen. So after, so I hope you get it. Okay, please come up. Yeah, got it. And then of course the Samaritan woman. That's another whole story. No time, but amen. So they will give testimony of how, you know, their experiences.
Okay. Amen. So if I were to summarize my college experience, the 4 years where I spent in college, I would use one verse, and that would be Titus chapter 3. Titus 3, verse 3, it says, "For we also were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving as slaves various lusts and pleasures, spending our lives in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another." Well, what a summary. Well, that was my college experience. So, as you can see, I was quite far away from God. I was far way off, but, you know, the Lord did not allow my college experience to end on such a note. So my senior year, so here in verse 4, it says, but, you know, there's a but here. It says, but when the kindness and the love to man of our Savior God appeared. Amen. Oh, when this love appeared, it appeared as a group of young people, a group of saints who came for a gospel trip to the city I was living in. So there was a group of saints, and then there was a group of students from the full-time training in Anaheim who came to visit. Well, more like they invaded my home, and they invaded my campus. So for 2 weeks, I got to spend in a very intensified way with them. And for those 2 weeks, I touched the love of God, and through which I was fully subdued by the Lord. And then now, you know, in Luke 10, the Lord says, after the account of the Good Samaritan, he says, go and do likewise. And then when I go out on the gospel now, I can't help recall from my own experience and see how the Lord has come in and touched my life and changed the course of my life and direction completely. And now I'm just going to do likewise. So we see that, as Brother David was saying, first we need to allow ourselves to be loved, to receive the love of God. Then in return, we will love God. There's a footnote that says, if we have an earnest desire for the Lord's coming, we have a sincere concern for the sinner's salvation. So this is where we stand upon. We allow God to love us, then we love God, then we'll have His heart for men will be duplicated in us, and then we would go out, we would pray, we would intercede, we would petition for others until the Lord give us the right one. And He may just be sitting next to you in class. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My experience in my freshman year when I was recovered was the same way. I came into college putting all my worth on the things I was told to prioritize, like grades, friends, activities, just stuff to keep me busy. But whenever I did those things, I was too busy to receive the love and faith of God. Even though He was there, I couldn't. My hands were full. I couldn't receive anything. So like our brother said yesterday, our hand is the organ, even though our heart may feel something. Same thing, our spirit. When we put our spirit, or when we don't even have anything in our spirit, then even though we try to receive what the Lord gives us, we can't. Or even though we're busy with other things, we can't receive what the Lord gives us. Because our spirit is the hand that reaches out for the Lord. So every day, freshman year, I would feel this void when I was waiting in line or waiting to fall asleep. Even though I had A's and I had friends whom my soul reached out to, that there was just this sort of wanting. And so I feel like students on the campus or just people in general in the world, they feel this way too. That's why our society has put such a value on busyness, on ambition, on being driven, because only when you fill your hands, then you convince yourself that you feel like you're not empty. But the truth is, only when you give time to the Lord, only when you free yourself up to, no matter how busy you are, free yourself up to just look at Him for 10 minutes in a day. That's when you're satisfied. Amen. That's when you feel full inside.
Amen.
Why don't we read Roman number 1C all together.
We as God's children should be one with our Father in His love for sinners. We need to have a loving concern for the salvation of sinners.
A loving concern. Hallelujah. Wow, I just appreciate it. I wrote this down. Unless you love God, you cannot love man. Wow, and even the Lord would die for just one. If there's only one sinner, the Lord would still come and He would still die for them. What a heart our Savior God has for all men to be saved. So I'll be sharing on the second half, Roman numeral 2. And this is our commission. You know, I just appreciate our God has such a burning heart, such a love for sinners, for man. You know, I just feel like you touched that in Brother David. He just had touched God's heart and His love for man. But this is so much in God. But how does He reach man? How does he reach people? Well, that's why we're here. That's why He gave us a commission. So He gave us a commission so that we could reach people. So if you look at Roman numeral 2, it mentions, if we have a burden, care, and interest for people, people. I'm going to spend some time on these three words. Not just believers. We're speaking about people in general. We need a burden, a care, and an interest for people. The Lord will open the door for us to speak the gospel to them. Let me read A. We all need to go to the Lord and ask Him to burden us, saying, Lord, burden me with Your commission. Amen. And then just the beginning part of B, if we pick up a heart to care for the unbelievers. So I'm just going to go into these three words just for a little bit. Burden, care, and interest. So burden, even in A, it mentions we have to go to the Lord and ask the Lord, Lord, burden me. Even this matter, when we see a vision, then there's spontaneously a commission. So there's actually, this commission comes from four directions. You might want to write this down. Okay, the first one is from God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We just spent this whole first portion speaking about the heart our God has for man. And even in Matthew 28:19, I know is a verse. Go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This was what the Lord spoke right before He ascended. And this commission is still crying out from the heavens. We would go, therefore. This is our Lord's heart, that we would go. Actually, if you look at the whole world situation, everything in the world is all arranged for this commission. You know, even North Korea. Who knows what will happen, what the Lord's doing there. But it's all for this commission, that the gospel could reach the whole inhabited earth. Okay, so this is the first direction. It's from God. Now, the second direction is quite something. I don't know if you heard this before. It's from a story in Luke 16. This isn't a parable. This is an actual story. So the Lord here is speaking to the Pharisees. He's speaking about a rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. So Lazarus is covered with sores. He's outside this rich man's house. The dogs would come and lick his sores. And this rich man was just enjoying his life. Well, eventually both men die. And Luke 16 speaks about they're carried away to Hades. And the poor man had heard the word. So he was in the pleasant side. In Hades, there's a pleasant side, and there's a not-so-pleasant side, a side of torment. Read Luke 16. If you want more on this, you can go take a look. But so Lazarus is in the pleasant side. He's sitting with Abraham, like Abraham from the Old Testament. Okay, this is quite a story. This is from Luke 16. So he's there with Abraham, and this rich man who didn't receive the word, didn't receive the Lord, he's in the side of torment. And he's there, and he lifts up his eyes. Okay, it's kind of mysterious. There's these both sides. There's a big chasm between them, but somehow they can speak to each other, okay? Don't ask me how it works. I don't understand. It's just what the Bible says. Okay, so he's there. It says he's in torment. He sees Abraham from afar, and he sees Lazarus. He sees this poor man there. And he says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus just to dip his finger in water and come over so he can put it and cool my tongue because I'm in anguish. I'm in anguish. And Abraham says, you know, you received in your lifetime, you received good things, and Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And there's a big chasm he can't cross over. So then you know what this rich man says? He says, okay, if he can't do that, then I ask you, send him to the house. This is 27 and 28. He says, send him to the house of my father, for I have five brothers, so that he may solemnly testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. You know, there's only such a thing as a living atheist. Because when an atheist dies, they realize, wow, there is a God. And they realize, well, if I'm not on the pleasant side, I'm on the side of torment. And Abraham says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And then he says, no, Father Abraham, if someone were to rise, someone were to resurrect from the dead, they would hear them. And then Abraham says, even if someone were to rise from the dead, they still wouldn't listen. Well, case in point, even with the Lord. So where is the second call from? The second call is from Hades. There's a call for the gospel from Hades. So you're sitting in your class. You're sitting next to Samantha. Maybe she's an unbeliever. But you don't realize that behind the scenes, her family members who have passed away are crying out that someone would preach the gospel to them. This is not only our God's heart. There's a call from Hades for the gospel. Okay, I'm short on time. So the third point, there's a call from within us. This is from 1 Corinthians. So the second one was Luke 16. The third point is 1 Corinthians 9. 16 to 17, Paul says, "Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." There is something within him constraining him. We'll have some testimonies later on, but something within him that was just constraining him to share the gospel. And the fourth aspect is there's a need of people speaking a call from without. This is from Acts 16. Paul had a vision. In this vision, there was a Macedonian man who was crying out for him to come for the gospel. So these are the four directions. So may the Lord have mercy on us. Oh Lord, we would go to him, even ask him, "Lord, grant me a burden, a heart for man." Okay, so this is the first point, burden. Next is interest. You know, the only person that we are interested in is ourselves. That's just who we are. We're just following. We're just very interested in ourselves. And even we may have the thought, okay, whether someone else is saved, whether they're not saved is their own business. But I hope we would have a change in our view, even to consider man, consider even this commission that we've received. But what does it mean to have an interest? Well, it really means to connect with someone, to think from their perspective, and to consider them in order that you could gain them, you could speak some to them. So I'm not speaking about social dynamics. This is not some kind of social, you know, interaction class. You can't minister life to somebody if you're not interested in them. You have to be interested in someone for you to be able to give them life. Maybe I'll just give some examples. So I'm still on this matter of people. Oh, Lord, we need to have a heart for people. Because if we have a heart for people, the way will be opened up spontaneously. You care for people, you take interest, and we'll speak about care, but the way will be opened up to share the gospel. So a year ago, I was in New Zealand, and we were driving about 5 hours to a college conference. It was me, my wife, Ryan, and then a brother who's a doctor there. And I like to ask questions. I just kind of like to get to know people. So we sit in the car, long drive, 5 hours. And, you know, the first 30 minutes, I'm trying to, you know, ask questions. I'm getting just one-word answers. Nothing. Just hitting all these closed doors. So go for, you know, another 30 minutes. Ran is starting to get jumped in. We're trying to ask, just try to open up, see what he's interested in, you know, just trying to connect with him on any level. Nothing. Finding nothing. After about an hour and a half, just kind of took a nap, you know, just kind of gave up. And was doing some research. We had about an hour left in the drive, and then we were going to be sightseeing in New Zealand, and I found this place in Christchurch, which is the first place they go before they go to Antarctica, and they were having huskies. They were going to have pet huskies. You could go, and you could play with the huskies. So I said, "Hey, Rand, you want to go play with the huskies?" And all of a sudden, this brother just looks, "Huskies, I love huskies." And the rest of the hour, he just talked about dogs the whole time, just dogs this, dogs that. You know, and the way was opened up for even the rest of that weekend. We were able to have fellowship. There was a ground, some kind of common, there, I took an interest, you know, it took a while, but eventually there was an interest. You know, even, we live in Cambridge, and, you know, we go to the post office sometimes before we go to coordination, and post office people in the morning just are not, they're not, just not very happy, you know, and there's this one woman in the post office who's just really kind of upset, you know, I just kind of look back, and I was with Rand. I was like, "Okay, Rand, you go talk to her." And she had these cat earrings on, and Rand just struck up a conversation with her about cats. And after about 5 minutes, this lady wanted to give us like an animal that she had at home. I mean, she's like, "It needs a home. Do you want to find a home?" I mean, she was like all kind of, but all of a sudden she just opened up. You know, this is taking an interest in people opens up the way for you to be able to share something with them, care for them. Okay, third point, care. So interest can kind of seem something more beginning, but a care is an advancement. It involves more of our soul, more of our being. Even Paul says he would spend and utterly be spent on behalf of the saints. There's actually this awesome verse. I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, yearning in this way over you. The Thessalonians were a group of newly saved believers, okay? He said, yearning in this way over you. We were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel, of God, but also our own souls, which means he loved them. He took an interest in the saints in Thessalonica. He cared for them. They were on his heart. And I love this last part. It says, because you became beloved to us. You know what that indicates? Maybe they weren't so beloved at the beginning. Maybe you're with people and you're just like, "Man, wow, this brother is just not beloved. Wow, just no." But as you begin to pray for them, you begin to consider them. They're written on your heart. You're considering them before the Lord. You're taking an interest in them. They will become beloved to you. So even the people the Lord has sovereignly placed us around, it's for this direction, that they would become beloved. We would take an interest in them. We would care for them. so that we could give them life. Amen. We would give them, share with them the gospel. Okay, so now we're going to have a brief testimony from Annie of her experience in having a burden, having a care, taking an interest.
So I think this is working. So I think last year, coming into college training my freshman year, we presented the whole gospel thing, and so I thought it was just my Christian duty to preach the gospel. But last year, I started getting into the Word, and I just saw how much the Lord loved me and how much He loved man. And just I just realized there was something there that people didn't have, that the people around me didn't have, and it was something eternal. So this year with my friends, I just had this burden from the Lord that, like, I needed to give them this life because it is eternal, and they don't have it. And I might be the only person they know right now who is in the church life, who has this life. And so I think with that burden, the Lord just started opening all these opportunities for me to just talk to people. I feel like the opportunities were there before and I just didn't take them. But He was so faithful that conversations would lead to, why do you love God? Or things like, it was just, yeah. So one of my housemates got saved, and I thought that was it. But after that...
Wait. How about you say that sentence again? We'll give you a good amen. That's what... Someone got saved! Amen. The angels are rejoicing! Amen. Okay, sorry.
It's okay.
Say that sentence one more again. We'll give you a strong
one of my housemates got saved.
Amen!
But the burden didn't leave me. And I thought... I woke up the next morning, and my first thought was... oh my goodness, she needs to grow. And then it just became like a deeper burden to care for her in maybe not always reading the Bible with her, but to just see how she's doing. Care for her in all aspects, pray with her, pray for her, pray with others for her. And then even if sometimes she wasn't so open, or I would see her like go from spiritual high to like the valleys and things like that. But I think the Lord is just so amazing, because every time I pray that she gets reminded of Him, she'll like message me and be like, hey, you want to read the Bible? And I'm like, oh, wow. But anyways, so I think in my experience, it's just that I just saw something that was eternal that nothing else in the world could replace or could take, could replace. And that just gave me a burden to preach the gospel to my friends.
Amen.
Well, what a testimony. It's really wonderful to see that everything living responds to care. Everything living. Plants. If you care for plants, they will live. If you don't care for them, they will die. People are the same way. Everything living responds to care. And actually, if you think about it, the Lord took care of a lot of people. You know, He's God. So He knew exactly who would respond, who wouldn't respond. He knew, okay, in Acts, there will be really only 120 who are standing for me. But He still fed thousands of people. He still healed a lot of people. You know, I believe it's in Luke 17, there were 10 lepers that came. He healed them all. Only one came back. He cared for people. He took an interest in people. This was our Lord. Even just maybe one personal quick testimony. You know, that just... this past year, I've been caring for a brother who's at Harvard, and his mother wasn't feeling too well. So every week, he's in grad school, and we've just been praying for his family. And I never had the opportunity to meet his mom, and she passed away about 3 days ago. But you know, he called me, and I just wept. I was on the phone. I just wept, just because I cared for him, cared for his family. They were written on our heart. So some of us, we just sent some flowers for them. So this is, when you care for people, there's a way to shepherd them. Okay, so now we'll kind of have a little transition. As we have a burden, a care, and an interest for people, what happens? The Lord will open a door.
Amen.
You don't believe me? Try it. The Lord will open a door for us to speak the gospel to people. John 4:35 is an awesome verse. Do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then the harvest comes? Behold, I tell you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are already white for harvest. Okay, so the context of this verse, if you look at it, it's in John 4. But David alluded to it. So we have the Lord who was burdened. You know how burdened he was? He went out of the way. That's what the beginning of John 4 says. He went out of his way to find this one woman. He's sitting there. He took an interest in her. You notice the first thing they speak about was water. He didn't say, I'm Jehovah, believe in me. You know, he spoke about water. They had a brief conversation about water. Of course, the Lord turned it to the living water. But they started with just like actual physical water. So it's okay to be normal with people, to ask people how they're doing. You know, it's not strange. The Lord was very human. If you ask someone how they're doing, you know, actually, I remember speaking about this with a classmate in college. I was in nursing school, and I just asked her, how are you doing? She said, nobody has asked me that for the longest time. Because people, we only care about ourselves. We don't care about anybody else. So you ask someone how they're doing, that really can take care of someone. Okay. So he took an interest, and then he cared for her by giving her living water. And actually, in verse 32, this was the Lord's food. People were the Lord's food. I hope people could also be our food. Okay, then he says this verse. There are yet, do you not say, now who is the you here? The you here is the disciples. And the Lord is referring, do you not say, basically the disciples had said, oh, there's 4 months, and then the harvest will be there. So they were saying, harvest is not ripe, let's just wait 4 months. Okay, now, how long is a semester? 18 weeks? About 4 months, right? So sometimes this is our experience. We're like, oh, Lord, first semester, give me 4 months. You know, I'm just going to really do well in my calculus, do well on this, and then I'll preach the gospel. Next semester. Or sometimes it's 4 years, you know, you're in high school or for college. Oh, Lord, give me these 4 years. I'm going to study, and then I'm going to be for you. And then when we hit that point, we're like, Lord, 40 more years. 40 more years. No. I hope we wouldn't be like the disciples here. This is a lot of times is our experience, but when we respond in this way, you know what the Lord says? The Lord says, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Let's lift up our eyes and just look at one another. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. You know what that means to lift up your eyes? That means to take an interest and a care in people. Because if your eyes aren't lifted up, that means they're directed somewhere that's usually like this. So you're looking at yourself. You're just obsessed with you, with my schoolwork, my extracurricular activities, my internship, my volunteering, my need to make money, blah, 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 me. But when the Lord says, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, behold, wow, they are already white. They are already white. We've just been so consumed with ourselves, the fields are already ripe. Okay, oh Lord, I'm out of time. If we have, point C, if we have a care and interest for people, the care itself will open up a way. Okay, I'll just share two stories and then I'll finish. Is that okay? Okay, so on the way home from California, we were just there for a week-long training, and there was one of the topics there was on the Jubilee. Jubilee is from the Old Testament. It's the children of Israel could be free to come back to their land and to their people. So it's an aspect of the gospel. So we're there at the airport. We're taking a red eye, brutal flight. I really wanted an exit row, so I went up and I had this conversation. Got an exit row. I was so excited. My wife wasn't as excited, but that's okay. So we got an exit row. We're seated there, and we're next to this senior whose name is Kevin. Struck up a conversation, started speaking about he's from Boston. Track where he's from, what he's going on, and he asked us what we were doing in California, and we said, "Oh, we're at a Christian conference for a week." He said, "Oh, what did you learn?" Oh, lift up your fields are white. So we shared with him about the Jubilee, and we said, "Would you like to receive Jubilee Jesus?" And he said, "Yes." So, actually, sometimes if you preach, Amen, Hallelujah. Kevin, receive the Lord.
Amen.
This is wonderful. The fields are white. The Lord is sovereignly arranging everything. You just take an interest in people, and who knows what will happen? Who knows what will happen? Okay, one more story. I was in Egypt maybe about a month and a half ago. We're just there visiting some of the saints. And did you know that there are people in Egypt who love the Lord Jesus? Well, I didn't really know that too much, but Egypt is 90% Muslim, 10% Christian. And it's really difficult to preach the gospel there, but we were there. And before that, my concept was, man, the fields are not white. The fields are, I don't know, dark and gloomy, you know. But I got there. We were there with some ones that we knew. And we drove in this car that is like this little itty-bitty car. There's like 6-7 of us crammed in there. We drove into local Giza. Giza's where the pyramids are, but this was like the local part of town. Really very poor, dilapidated. And we walked into this apartment complex, which windows were just, it was made out of cement, and the window was just cut a hole in the cement. That's just how it was. We walked up. It was during Ramadan, so they're playing the Quran on loudspeakers outside. And we're there in this living room, and this like family came down, and you know, and we fellowshipped about the assurance, security, and joy of our salvation. Amen. With this group, we're eating these Egyptian cookies, hearing the Quran outside, someone speaking, being translated about how we're happy that we're saved. Amen. We can enjoy our salvation every day. I mean, this verse was just so real to me, realizing, wow, the fields are white. If we lift up our eyes, if we forget about ourselves, that's, of course, that's somewhere else. The fields are white in Egypt, but the fields are white at Rutgers. The fields are white at Wentworth. Amen. Right, John? Amen. Amen. So who knows who the Lord places us around? This is his heart for man. And if we just respond by not only seeing this commission, but even taking an interest in people, have conversations, ask people how they're doing, the Lord will have a way. The care itself for them will open up a way. People just respond as you love them. Because no one else may be loving them except their own family. And even they may not be loving them. But you don't realize when you care for someone, you buy someone, they're sick, you bring them soup, all these different ways. You call someone, you make someone cookies, you know. Just the care opens up a way. Okay. Amen. I'm done.
Let's pray with our neighbor just for a minute about what we heard. Hallelujah. Amen.